about. All right, so let's continue on with the eight forms of capital. Those who have tuned into this one, you might want to go listen to 113 and 112 first to get the grounding in this. But basically, this is a series based on an article done by a permaculture blog called The Eight Forms of Capital I first saw in a permaculture magazine. And it broke down capital into many different forms rather than just a financial form of capital that we usually think of. And social capital, let me read the little quote from the article about social capital. Influence and connections are social capital. A person or entity who has good social capital can ask for favors, influence decisions, and communicate efficiently. Social capital is of primary importance in politics, business, and community organizing. Jason Eaton of Social Thread LLC explained to me that capital can be in the form of equity or debt. In social capital, a person can owe favors or decision-making influence to another person or entity. Let me put it to you in a little bit more direct terms. You know, if we can look at a famous person from our past that was the supposed leader anyway of the Rat Pack, and it really wasn't him. Joey Bishop was really the leader of the Rat Pack. He was the brains behind it, but Frank Sinatra. Now, Frank Sinatra was actually a little bit connected with the mafia, nowhere near the level that he was reported to have been. But one of his buddies, Sammy Davis Jr., who was also a member of the Rat Pack, had a problem with a thing from the mob over a girl that he was dating that happened to be white, and Sammy, of course, was black, and this is back in the 50s and 60s when that was a lot more unusual than it is today, and a producer of a movie he was involved with or something like that kind of put out, you know, basically a threat slash hit on the guy if he didn't leave this girl alone. And Frank found out about it, was kind of pissed off, and made a one phone call, and that was done. That was social capital. That was nuts and bolts social capital. It wasn't because he was connected in the way that we think of when we think of Frank Sinatra. It was because he was a famous person, he was Italian, and a lot of guys that were big hitters in the mob liked him because he performed in Vegas after casinos and stuff like that. So he had a social connection that he was able to make a phone call and stop something that you probably couldn't have gone to law enforcement to do much about. That's social capital. It's nuts and bolts. Now, most of us don't have that. Now, let's look at it in the traditional business sense. Social capital is actually on the balance sheet of any major corporation. They just don't call it that. They use an accounting term for it that I learned about back when I took, you know, bookkeeping and accounting in high school, and it's called goodwill. And if you look at a balance sheet of a company like McDonald's, you will see that the goodwill is measured like in the billions of dollars. I'm not sure if it's a billion, but it's a lot. It's hundreds of millions, maybe multiple billions of dollars, and it's seen as an asset. So it's seen as much as an asset as a building or cash in the bank on a balance sheet. It's an asset. Again, an asset is what we own with a monetary value on it. Now, it doesn't generate income directly, but it is a source of income, therefore it's seen as an asset. The reason the McDonald's goodwill on its balance sheet is so big is think about it. We go to any place in the world and set up a building and stick those golden arches out in front of it, and people will show up to buy stuff. Whether or not you think it's a good thing or not doesn't really matter. I tell you there's better places to get your food than McDonald's, but that is a concrete example of social capital. McDonald's gains business simply because it exists and they have brand recognition, and that's a form of social capital. They can also influence things, and they do good things, like through the Ronald McDonald House, and they exercise social capital because people value the brand. They'll donate money to a cause endorsed by the brand. That's also social capital, and get more in line with the way to think about it today. But what I want you to realize is that in the past, social capital was something that well-connected people had and big businesses had. Small businesses would have small amounts of social capital. The guy that has owned the Chevy dealership in town for 20 years could go down to the Chamber of Commerce meeting and immediately have influence with other people and maybe put two people together, ask for a favor, get up and talk, and say, hey, let's support this charity. And there would be a limited amount of social capital, but big social capital. Broad social capital that reached across the country or across the world was reserved for big-time players only, big companies and big people. Frank Sinatra and McDonald's. Right? Today, that's changed. Today is a wonderful time to be in business because the social capital that you can have can be immense, even if 99% of people in America don't know who you are. If you listen to the Survival Podcast, and you've met other people that listen to the Survival Podcast, which is my main show, and you tune into me every day and have for 4 years now, you may find it kind of shocking that 99.9% of people in America, if you said, that's Jack Spirko over there, would go, I don't give a shit. Who the hell's Jack Spirko? Some jerk. I don't know who he is. I don't have social capital like Frank Sinatra does. But I can say, hey, folks, there's this woman in Oregon who's being oppressed by the city of Salem. Let's help her out. And $30,000 goes into a fund to help her out. I can say, hey, folks, there's this little ministry called Bella Ministries that this guy Brandon needs some help with, and we can put $5,000 into helping people in disaster areas in a couple days. That's social capital. And I don't have it in my local community the way that I have it online, because social media has made social capital scalable for anybody. Social capital needs to be part of your business, and you need to be building it from day one. And you'll never ask a stupid freaking question like, what's the value of a Facebook fan? What's the ROI of a Facebook fan? I'm trying to... You know what? Any of the corporate idiots that are still asking questions like that should be smacked with a freaking frozen trout in the face repeatedly until they either get it or quit, because they don't know what the hell they're doing anymore. The world has changed and they haven't accepted it. The fact that some hick with a recorder can build up the clout that I have with my show via social capital should be an alert to people like McDonald's that that value on their balance sheet should be in decline in reality. Because there's more influence now online, and you have to actually care, and you have to actually give a shit if you want that influence to grow. That's how social capital grows. The other thing that we need to understand as business owners is the company has two types of social capital. The company itself has social capital, and then key players or owners in the company also have social capital. And it can be different as to who has more social capital, the brand itself or the individual. Even when the brand and the individual are one, I can tell you that Jack Spirko doesn't have the social capital that Jack Spirko / the Survival Podcast host has. If I do something as Jack Spirko, the host of the Survival Podcast, I get a lot bigger response than I do as Jack Spirko, the host of 5 Minutes with Jack. This audience is much smaller. It's about 1,000 people now. The audience for the Survival Podcast is about 40,000 people. So I have social capital as an individual, but the company has social capital. The entity of the Survival Podcast has greater social capital. Why? Because we learned in spiritual capital yesterday that the entity itself is made up of many people, the whole audience. I'm just the focus of the social capital flows through. So when I talk to the audience on the show, I'm able to exert greater social capital than I can as an individual off doing something else, even though I can use that social capital to springboard other things like this, like AgriTrue, like other things I'll do in the future. Some of it will stay behind because that entity has spiritual capital, right? And if you don't understand that, listen to yesterday's show. I can't rehash it. On other things, though, the individual owner may have more social capital than the brand. Let's face it, when Mark Cuban talks, more people listen than if HDNet talks, even though HDNet is his company. In fact, the main reason people even care about HDNet is because it is Mark Cuban's company. Now, Mark Cuban is also the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. Who has more social capital, the Mavericks or Cuban? Who knows? I'd say it's probably the Mavericks, but it might be close. And they're very, very, very synonymous with each other right now. But that's the way to see social capital, that it's important to get your key players engaged in developing social capital too. Too many companies have their heads up their ass and they, I don't want my CFO blogging. Oh my God. Then people, shut up! You know? Or we're gonna analyze everything he says before it goes out the door. Now, in some large publicly traded companies, a little bit of that may be a good idea, but in most small companies, you just, you know, come on. Get out there and build the social equity of the key ownership and key players. So what I'm saying is, when people go, well, should the company have a Facebook page or should the owner have a Facebook page? Yes, stupid. That's a stupid question. This is something I've been saying a lot recently. Those who think there are no stupid questions have never been the ones giving the answers. They're stupid questions, and generally, the more formal education the person has, and the more times they wear a business suit in their lives, the dumber their questions become, has been my personal experience. Yes, that's the answer. Yes. I don't understand. Both stupid, and everybody else in the company you can get participating should be building their social equity both as associated with the brand and as an individual. What happens when they leave? They take their social capital with them because they have intrinsic worth of a human being. And as an employer, you're not entitled to have ownership of that. That would be called slavery. So it's a risk, but it's a mitigated risk because they will also leave behind some of their social capital, and they'll always be in some way associated with your brand in a positive light if they build positive social capital. What if they do something stupid? Give your customers credit for having a brain. And then if they do something that's embarrassing to the brand and requires their termination, be honest about the termination as much as you can publicly and just do it. You know? I mean, people make mistakes. People would rather see a company step up and go, we or one of our employees made a big mistake. We've corrected it. We're sorry. We fixed it. Let's move on. Then make excuses and do spin and PR management, all this bullshit. Get out there and build a social media presence of both the individuals, the key players, and the brand itself. And then also understand that another part of your social capital is the value of your strategic partnerships and your professional relationships. So if you have a company that you have a strategic partnership with, that's part of your social capital. Even though you might have to give them something in return, like Jason Eaton of Social Threat LLC said, you can have social capital in the form of debt or obligation. Or I'm sorry, debt or equity. So you can have it owed to you or you can owe it to somebody else. And the best way to use social capital is never to keep an accounting of it. If you're doing, because we started out with the mob thing, right? You know, I did you a favor, now you owe me a favor, that type of thing. No. You know, when I contact one of my contacts and say, hey, like, can you help me out with this? I don't say, and remember, last time I helped you out. That's not the way to be. And I don't even think about whether I helped them out. I just, like, I know that they can help me with this, so I'm asking, because I know whatever they need, I'm going to give them back as long as I can. So that's the way to think about social capital, and it's probably the most valuable form of capital you can be cultivating in your business today. It's your email list, it's your Facebook fan page, it's your Twitter followers, it's your name recognition among people, it's the fact that other people tell other people about you, it's all of those things in one, and here's why. Any business can fail, but your social capital never will as long as you never do anything to dishonor the people who have given it to you. And understand, you get social capital not by taking it, but by having people decide that you're worthy of it and giving it to you. And if you have that social capital, you can literally lose everything and swiftly rebuild because you have people that will help you, people that will get involved, people that will do business with you, people that will refer business to you, people that will vouch for you. I'm going to put it for you in a very simple way to understand what social capital really is all about. When I was growing up as a young man, I came from kind of a poor family. And we were all entrepreneurs and did things on our own. We had various levels of success. But almost none of us had ever gone to college. And what my dad taught me was this. You have one thing no one can ever take away from you or damage. The only way that it will ever be harmed is if you choose to do it yourself through being stupid. And that's your name. Your name means something. And no matter where you go or what you do, you will carry that name and it will have some value. How much value is up to you? That's what social capital is really all about. What does your name mean to other people? Are you the kind of person they'll get behind and back? Are you the kind of person they want to do business with? That's what social capital is. Make sure you're building it and cultivating it in your business. And with that, this has been another episode of 5 Minutes with Jack.
Thank you for tuning in to this edition of 5 Minutes with Jack. To learn more, connect with our community, and get free resources to build your business, visit jackspirico.com.